Welcome back to Farthest Galaxy. I read it and I lost it. Star Wars podcast. I'm your local scruffy looking nerf herder Hunter, and as always, I'm joined by Jedi Master Alex, and we have Wendy's.
We do. We are eating.
So sorry, guys.
This is right after work on a Friday. We had to jump into this. Had to eat.
We're late.
But it's okay, because we made it anyway. We're doing this for you guys. Unpaid, mind you.
We're unpaid interns.
Yeah, for real. I'm gonna have to have a conversation with the boss.
We'll talk to George himself.
Yeah, talk to the guy who fucking edits this podcast and makes all the thumbnails.
That's me. I'm an intern too.
You're not getting paid?
Darth Vader is what we're covering this week. We're covering Dark Lord of the Sith Volume 1, Imperial Machine. It is the reboot of the comic that takes place between 3 and 4.
Yes. It's 6 issues. And just for this, it's just the way they classified it. The first 6 are the Imperial Machine, which I brought up, and you kind of echoed what I was saying, but we decided to do it anyway. But issue 6 flows more better, with the stories that would come after, and it's just kind of like a cap-off for this one, but it's like a weird cap-off. Yeah, we'll get there.
For that, we got some news. Let's do the quickest news first. Mando will finally get a comic book adaptation of just the first season so far. All 8 episodes will be turned into an 8-issue comic. It's being written by Rodney Barnes, who's done Marvel stuff before, so he's already engrossed in the Marvel universe.
Yep.
And he's done Western books.
That should be cool to see.
It'd be cool. It's going to be adaptations with, like, little details in the background.
Yeah. And maybe it'll flush out some little things.
Coming with Mayfield.
Hey, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Episode 6? So, yeah, it's coming out in July, right after the Obi-Wan Kenobi book comes out in May.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, too.
And we're getting 2 fire books in the next couple months.
We're getting a lot of good Star Wars content these next few months. And then apparently in 4 years or so.
High Republic just ended. I know you're trying to segue, but sorry. Okay.
I was just joking.
High Republic just ended their first wave, ending at issue 15 for like most of the respective books that were ongoing. And the other ones ended at like 4, 5, 3, 2. So, and then obviously the novels. So they're relaunching in September with wave 2 after the big event that happened at the end of Eye of the Storm issue 2, which we'll talk about at some point.
Yeah, when we get there.
I feel like we'll do that. So we'll go through the Dark Horse books in order, like Old Republic, and then when we get to that point, we'll just do High Republic, because there's like 3 volumes right now.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Not like there's a transitional thing. It's going to be like, and you've hit the end.
Next. Okay, bye.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, we'll probably get back to that in the next couple weeks, either next week or the week after.
Yeah, probably.
I do want to get into those books.
We talked about it last week and wanted to do it, so maybe next week.
Because we have the Sith stuff that we're still into, and then we jump like right into the Old Republic.
I mean, I could probably read those books this weekend, and we might be able to talk about them Monday if that's something you want to do. You just let me know.
We shall see. Those 5 issues.
Yeah, for sure.
And these issues rolled really fast, so.
They did. They were not very long.
I was going through them, and I was like, I'm done, I guess.
But this stuff is also mad interesting. Plus, a lot of the panels don't have a lot to read.
There's Vader doing cool stuff.
Look at this. Because I even said it today. I was able to scroll through the entire 6 issues today while we were at work and pick out notes for it. That's how quick of a joint.
I feel like Mace Windu took like a lot longer to check out, but
I feel like it also because it was a story with characters we didn't really know or care about. It's like we knew Mace and Kit Fisto.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, the other two are just kind of here.
And the other one becomes an Inquisitor, which is cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Which we'll start to see in this. He's in this. Not this volume, he's in the next one.
Yeah, we already spoiled his death, though.
Yeah, it is what it is. What are you going
to
do?
Well, let's go into the second piece of news. The influencers of the world have started sharing their experience at the Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel in Disney World in Orlando, Florida.
It's okay.
It's all over the internet. Yeah, and some people like it a lot more than others for obvious reasons.
Did Star Wars Theory go?
No, he has no interest in going.
That's dumb.
He's like me, where he watched videos. I've watched about 3 hours of videos on this, trying to create some kind of an idea of what this experience is like. For me personally, from what I've seen, it's not a vacation I want to go on for what they are charging.
Cut it in half.
If it was $1,500 for 2 nights, I would be more okay with that. Because for me, the hotel looks too generic sci-fi-y. Too generic, just not really Star Wars-y feel until you see, like, the characters or you look at one very specific thing on the wall. But you also have to consider, if you're a full-grown adult like we are, there's going to be a lot of kids here. So you want to walk around the hotel swearing and having a good time as a Star Wars scoundrel? You better be ready for a little six-year-old Bobby next to you going, what does Moof Milker mean? So it's
a nerf herder.
It's weird. You know, I would definitely encourage people to watch some videos and find out things about it. But for me personally, it just isn't there yet. And I don't know if it ever will be.
Price point's too high for me.
Yeah, because even CJ was like, oh, maybe if they do a discount, I'm like, that's a fucking steep discount.
For 2 days?
I'm thinking like a 75% discount.
For 2 days for $52.99? Pass.
Yeah. And that's two people.
Yeah. If it was that's two adults. If it was $52.99.
That's not even a whole family.
Yeah, if it was $52.99 for like a whole week, sure. You know?
Yeah, but.
Sure.
And I understand why.
No TV, though.
Apparently there is a TV.
What does it play?
It's like, it plays whatever channels that Disney would have. So, it's like, they do treat it like a cruise, where the television, if you turn it on, it'll show you where you are on the cruise in the galaxy. And there's like a little window that's not really a window, it's like a screen.
Yeah.
And it'll, as the vacation goes on, you'll see different stuff outside the window, because it's supposed to be like you're moving through the galaxy. So when you turn on the TV, it'll be like a map, like, this is where you are right now. And then you could flip through whatever channels they have on Florida.
You can tune into Disney XD.
I do think it would be cool if they had like a dedicated Star Wars movie channel for that. But from what I saw, a lot of people weren't watching TV. They were trying to enjoy the hotel.
Well, no shit. You want to like...
Yeah. But it seems like they book the vacations. Like, you can't book on your first day on someone's second day, you know? It seems like... Everybody is coming on day one, mm-hmm. and they're staying till day two, and then they're out, and we start over. Because it's an interactive show,
mm-hmm.
and from what I'm understanding, they don't want you to experience the same things over and over again.
But the problem is, you're gonna have the problem is with that, not being able to experience the same things over and over again means you have to go back. Like, if you just follow one character around,
mm-hmm.
it's like, all right, you only get that story.
Well, one of the people I watched... it was him, his wife/girlfriend, and one of their friends. And their friend, you get like a datapad app that gives you missions and shit to interact with the characters in the hotel and stuff. So that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But the friend, he was getting like a million things, right? He's like, oh, I'm on this mission. I'm talking to this guy. I got access codes into the engine bay. It's cool. And the guy who's filming the video, he's like, my buddy over here, he's getting all these notifications. It's 4 p.m. I still haven't gotten anything. And I can't help but feel like I'm missing out. You know,
he probably missed the one guy that gave him, like, the codes or something.
Yeah, well, the reason his buddy did it was because he scanned his magic band in the elevator and started hitting buttons.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, you're not allowed to have access to this. So then he gets a message on the data pad, and it's like, oh, why were you poking around, you know? And then you get to interact and have your, like, your adventure, essentially. But it's like, if you're not going out of your way to make those things happen. Yeah. If you're not acting like an asshole, hitting all the buttons, scanning your band on everything, it's just not going to come for you. You know, you'll be part of the big group events where it's the captain up on the deck going, yes, this is what's happening. Oh, look, the First Order is here. Oh, look. Also, there's another thing. And this is going to be a spoiler.
The First Order shows up?
First Order shows up on day one.
I thought it was in the High Republic timeline.
It's not.
Ah!
It's in between 8 and 9. And I'm going to actually...
Oh, like the Rise of the Resistance.
Get this. Spoiler, I guess, if you care about the quote-unquote story that they're telling. Rey and Kylo Ren have a fight. In the hotel, it's like a grand show. Rey is dressed like she is in episode 8, fine. You know, her hair is done up the way it is in 7, so whatever, I could buy her outfit. Yeah. Kylo Ren, who destroyed his helmet in episode 8, rolls up with the perfectly done helmet and the hood on. I'm like, this is episode 7. So, this is getting really nitpicky.
It breaches the timeline.
This is your Star Wars that you made, Disney, and you're fucking it up.
What are you doing?
I don't get it.
They don't want to pay for the costume.
And when I see that, that really deters me. Because I'm like, you guys couldn't even go with the continuity of the fucking right costume for this guy.
Hair and makeup is different than helmets and costumes.
I get it. You could have said that scene where we see him reforging his helmet actually takes place a long time before we see episode 9. And he could be wearing the reforged helmet in the show. But he's not. He's wearing the normal helmet from episode 7 because they were like, this is a good costume. He already wears this in the park.
Yeah.
So it's just, it feels lazy. It feels undercooked. It feels like a half-baked idea by a bunch of board members.
Yep. They were like, well, how can we make this? Oh, dude, don't even get me started on that half-baked idea stuff, dude. They want to do Disney, like, Disney, what is it? Disney resort parks where you, like, live at Disney?
Disney, like, communities, like, neighborhoods.
You literally live in a Disney community and just shit around you is Disney.
Mm-hmm.
You live there.
Yeah.
It might be a timeshare situation where you're there for, like, a month or so.
I think it's a timeshare. I couldn't see living in, like, a Disney thing where they pay a guy dressed like Goofy to come to your front door every day and give you your mail, you know?
Piss on your lawn or some shit.
Yeah, fucking, God damn it, Pluto is taking a shit on my lawn again. Man, it's just a guy in a Pluto costume dropping a load on your fucking front lawn.
It'd be good for a month, for sure.
A month?
A month of human doo-doo.
You want that for a month?
I meant to live in the community.
He's got to poop every day, man. Once he picks a house, he stays there.
Like twice a day.
Oh, no.
He picks one house randomly every month.
If it's my dog's, more than twice a day.
Oh, no. My dog poops twice a day because she's a little baby. She don't eat that much.
My dog will poop, come inside, walk in a circle, and then have to go out again.
You got bigger dogs, that's why. My dog's a little nutty.
My dog might eat your dog if it was cooked.
Nah. Zonka would.
Zonka would.
Zonka would.
I said that
especially around 5 o'clock.
I saw this thing. It's like, oh yeah, if you die and your body starts to decay, your dog will die next to you instead of eat because it's so loyal. I'm like, not Zonka. He's eating me. I'm like, if I die from like a heart attack or something, he's gonna pull me out of my chair by my leg and start housing.
Well, dude, because I'm gonna start. I'm gonna start
to smell, dude. He's gonna be like, that's tasty. He'd be like, you ain't moved in a while. You ain't giving me pets or love. You're food now.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy. Zonka would though, because dude. His 5 o'clock Zonka is nobody's business.
He's the guy, man. So, yeah. That's the lowdown, the Star Cruiser.
I want to do it at some point, but for the price point, I can't.
I'll do it if they change it to be, like, more Star Wars-y feeling and looking.
Fix the timeline.
Make it cheaper. Because, again, I don't want to pay $5,000 to go with my wife to a hotel for 2 days, and half the guests are going to be children running around screaming and doing that stuff. They need to have a more adult-oriented thing, I think, for Star Wars. It's like, I get it's a very inclusive property, but there are a lot of adults who are looking for two-night vacations to enjoy a Star Wars adult experience.
I think one weekend a month, they should do, like, adults-only weekend. Yeah.
They would sell out, too.
I know.
It'd be a huge month for them.
Hey, Disney.
Or a huge weekend.
You're welcome. Adult month.
You could even do weekend. You could even choose to do it only a few times a year if you want to make it really exclusive. Charge, like, one and a half times the price of the tickets. Yeah. So it's like $7,000 for 2 nights, 2 people.
Mm-hmm. It's only adults.
Only adults.
And there they change all the beverages to alcoholic beverages instead of being
everything
all
is fucking completely different.
Not everything, obviously. Water, soda, whatever.
Yeah, well, you know,
they add more alcohol.
Change the food options, you know, like they have like a grilled cheese.
We don't need
cheese
chicken
thing.
Nuggies.
Yeah, no. It's...
Give us a fucking prime ass steak.
Yeah, I think maybe we want to keep the chicken nuggies.
We can keep all the food options because who doesn't want a PBJ?
I'll give it to you. The food looks cool. So if you want to see it, just look up Galactic Star Cruiser. On YouTube, you'll find it.
Yeah, well, eventually.
Eventually.
I'll go there eventually.
Maybe.
Well, speaking of eventually, maybe, Star Wars Eclipse was delayed to 2027 or 2028 due to hiring issues because no one wants to work at Quantic Dream because they're not a good company, apparently. They had a lot of issues with David Cage.
Sexual harassment things, yeah.
And the whole thing with Elliot Page, not fun. Anyway,
yeah, so they dropped the trailer pretty much just to try and get more talent to come to the studio, and it didn't go the way they wanted, so now they're kind of floundering. So I guess we'll see.
Hey, man, CJ, 60-plus reported job openings at the Paris branch.
Yeah, you might have to move to Paris, but...
Fucking good luck, bro.
And you got to work on a game that you probably have no interest in, but...
No, he loves Star Wars. Not as much as us, but... I would move to Paris till the game's over, just for a little bit, work on Star Wars, get my writing credit, come back.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know if you'd be a writer, pal.
Hey, man.
I don't know if that's what the job listing is for.
Well, maybe it is. I'll work personally with David Cage. Make sure he doesn't touch anybody.
I don't think you want to do that.
Nah, he won't touch me.
He might touch you.
I'm too fat.
He might be into that. You don't know.
Oh, you can be a chubby chaser.
He might just be like, anything in my hands is good.
A boob is a boob.
Hey, man, an ass is an ass. A boob is a boob. Your nose is your nose.
Oh, no, I didn't see this news. You want to hit it up, dude?
Yeah, for sure. So Bad Batch Season 2 is possibly delayed, or it's coming sooner than we think.
What?
I don't know. Reddit user, and I'm going to read it because how the fuck else do you say it? BZPJMJ64 uncovered in issue 209 of Star Wars Insider that the Bad Batch Season 2 may not be coming as soon as fans hoped. In the past issues of the magazine, the project was listed with the spring 2022 release window, but that tag has now been removed and replaced with a coming soon label with no specific release timing stated. So I suggest that this might insinuate it's actually coming very soon and saying spring is no longer viable because they actually have a release date nailed down that they're waiting to share on some kind of grand or
I don't think they want to drop it at the same time as Kenobi.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Kenobi's done... There's a little gap in between before Andor, but there's not enough to do 16 episodes.
I would love it, personally, if Bad Batch was coming out on a different day from Kenobi. So it's like, Star Wars, a couple days of my normal mundane life. Star Wars, a couple days of my normal mundane life. Star Wars.
Do Wednesday, for Kenobi because the big shows go on Wednesday. And then Friday, do the kids show. Well, Bad Batch. Yeah, Bad cartoon. Batch. 20 minutes of Friday morning, you know?
So, in all fairness, we never got official confirmation of a Bad Batch Season 2 release date from Star Wars or Disney. So, it's technically still all speculation, but this is just something that people are, you know, shitting their pants over.
We suspect.
Yes.
Speaking of, nope, didn't have any flow for that, that is one. Not I a thought flow. I had one, didn't have
I
one.
I was waiting to hear what you were going to say.
I tried.
I was like, this is going to flow real good, because he came out with it.
I was like, I got it. Nope. Jim O'Hare, who's famously played Jerry Gergich on Parks and Recreations, is apparently part of Star Wars.
Yeah.
He's doing something in New Mexico, can't really talk about it, but it rhymes with Bar Wars. And some people think it's an untitled Star Wars project, like his big secret. Or Titania. Or it's Mando Season 3. Because that's also filming right now.
I mean, I really have no idea what it could be or who he could be.
I hope he's just like
something. Is it bad that when I saw a slightly larger man, I was like, he's a Hutt.
No!
He's laying a Hutt. And then immediately that thought left my head. I had my Luke Skywalker moment. Like a flash, it was gone.
You're like, oh. And I was like Timmy. He was one of the better characters in Parks and Rec, and he's a fun little happy old guy. So whether or not he's gonna play like a Steven Root, where he's in one episode, or he's just gonna be in like a whole season as like a side character,
probably a side character.
What if he plays Rex?
He's the new Mithril.
Actually, that kind of makes sense.
It kind of does, right?
He's a chubbier guy, a little older, and he's got the jowls, and he's funny.
Did you see the speculation that Mary Elizabeth Winstead might be playing a character similar to Cara Dune to replace Cara Dune?
Mara Jade?
Well, that wouldn't exactly be unless they completely changed her backstory.
Dude, Mara Jade is...
I think she would make a great Mara Jade just from what she's supposed to look like.
Also, Cara Dune is just a non-lightsaber-wielding Mara Jade, not backstory looks-wise.
Yeah. Well, same length of hair.
She got bulkier in season two. In season one, bulkier. She was much like thinner.
She was muscular. Thinner, but she was still bulkier than what Mara Jade should be.
Yeah, but Mary Elizabeth Winstead has done Huntress, and she was tight action.
Mm-hmm.
She's done Ramona Flowers, had some action.
Those are kind of the two roles that I would look at as far as the action that she did there for Mara Jade.
Yeah. She did a lot of running around in Cloverfield, but only running away from John Goodman. I mean, she's good to run away from Hutts. Hey, fat guy jokes. I love John Goodman. It's okay.
Run away.
I love John Goodman. It's fine. I'm also fat. It's fine.
Sorry, John.
Oh, no, we love you, man. Come on the show.
Yeah,
that'll be something weird.
All right, you ready to jump into this last bit of news that you have no idea who this is?
No, I don't know who this is, and I probably feel like I'm shitty from not knowing.
You probably should know who this is.
I don't know.
I'm kidding. You shouldn't know who he is, but I know who he is, so it doesn't matter. Alan Ladd Jr. has passed away at 84. Rest in peace, buddy. Many don't know him, but every Star Wars fan owes their respect, as he's the man who greenlit George to make the original Star Wars.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Ladd was vice president for creative affairs at 20th Century Fox in 1973 when Lucas's agent, Jeff Berg, began talking to him about Lucas's still-evolving concept for what became Star Wars.
Mm.
And I have a quote from him that says, "It took me back to the old Saturday matinees. Star Wars. I used to go crazy over Superman and Flash Gordon. When I heard Universal had passed on it, I thought they're crazy, so I took an option on it."
Dude, me and Courtney are watching.
That's why I wanted to mention that. That's fair. Very important man.
Yeah, me and Courtney were watching through That 70 Show, and in season one, there's an episode called A New Hope, and it's all about Star Wars releasing. And just seeing, like, I know it's acting, but seeing these kids see Star Wars for the first time, like, this is the best movie of all time. And every time they want to go see the movie, Kelso wants to go see Star Wars. And Jackie goes, "Stop asking to see fucking Star Wars." And he's like, "But it's the best."
It's one of my favorite episodes. He's like, "You want to see Star Wars?" Didn't they do another one for when Empire came out?
I don't know yet. I don't remember, but we haven't gotten there yet.
I think they did another one for when Empire came out. And he was like, "We're going to go see this one."
Well, I know Donna does the buns thing, which is funny.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the show. Move on to the topic, because that's where we're at now.
Let's get into it.
Star Wars.
We're talking about Darth Vader, the Dark Lord of the Sith, issues 1-6. Let's jump in really quick into the publication history. Real quick. Star Wars Darth Vader, alternately titled Star Wars Darth Vader, Dark Lord of the Sith, is a canonical comic book series written by Charles Soule with art from Giuseppe Comancoli.
Giuseppe.
I feel like I did that pretty good. Yeah. That was published by Marvel Comics on June 7, 2017. As a second volume of the 2015 series of the same name.
Yeah, man.
On December 18th, 2018, the series ended with its 25th issue.
Which is like five, I think it's five volumes altogether?
Something like that.
It's either four or five.
It says it on the Wikipedia.
Yeah, I forget when they combine everything.
Oh, okay. So beginning during the events of Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, directly after Darth Vader discovers that his wife Padme Amidala has died. No!
Exactly right there. That's where the book starts.
That's it, man. The series chronicles Vader going on various missions across the galaxy, all while hunting the few surviving Jedi alongside his band of dark side apprentices known as the Inquisitorians.
And Jacosta knew, but she's not here yet.
Yeah, no, she's not there yet. And she leaves just as quickly as she's brought in, I promise you. Hunter has asked me to do the abridged version of what I have written
here. These are chunky books, man. Darth Vader books are chunky.
These are pretty chunky. All I'm going to tell you is that I'm going to go stupid on these synopsis right now and just really cut them down like as much as I can. Go read these books. This is going to be some like mandatory reading if you're listening. If you're listening to this podcast and you have no plans of reading these books after, turn this episode off and don't listen to any of our other Darth Vader comic episodes.
Don't act CJ like that.
This is really good reading. This stuff is really fucking good.
Because it chronicles, like you said, Darth Vader between 3 and 4,
it
shows you his rise to real Vader.
This and Son of Dathomir are like, you need to read these comics. It's just
like,
very
you may think Vader's like a hard ass in like 4, 5, and 6. Dude, this is where Vader becomes a hard ass.
Yeah. So, let me do my best to fuck up this summary. Immediately after Darth Vader has this no at the end of episode 3, he lashes out, throws Palpatine up against the wall.
Oh, Palpatine's
of the Force.
A punk ass bitch.
Yeah, and he's like, "You told me you could save my wife," and Palpatine basically says, "Well, you chose a different path because this is your fault," you know. And then Vader kind of comes off of it a little bit when Palpatine's like, "Don't let her death be something that is going to bring you down and ruin you and turn you into nothing.
Don't step up on me again, bitch."
He's like, use this anger to be better. Use it to be stronger. Use it to be Darth Vader. And then he zaps Vader because he's pissed that he attacked him with the Force. And he's like, if you ever attack me with the Force again, I'm just going to kill you.
I hate that shit.
So
Palpatine sucks.
While he's shocking Vader, he's like, where's your weapon? Defend me with it. And he's like, Obi-Wan took my weapon. And he goes, no. That was the weapon of a Jedi. It was somebody else's weapon. You're a Sith. You need to get your own. And he takes him out to this big ceremony kind of.
And that's where we see the continuity errors.
Yeah, we get to a continuity error where Mos Amita, he's throwing a bunch of lightsabers into a giant cauldron that he's going to light on fire and explode. And he's like, this is the end of the Jedi, the end of the tyranny. We are the Empire and we're going to fuck shit up. And Palpatine's like, if only they knew how unfree they were, because I am totally still the bad guy in control of everything. So they're watching this lightsaber thing go down, and Palpatine's like, you see all those lightsabers? He's like, I could have given you any one of those, and you know why I didn't? And Darth Vader's like, because the weapon of a Sith is not, you know, given, it is taken. Effectively meaning I have to fight a Jedi and take their lightsaber.
Which is
and then we see Mos Amita hold up Yoda's lightsaber, or what we presume to be Yoda's lightsaber, because it pretty much looks exactly like Yoda's lightsaber. And we're all like, is that the one from Book of Boba Fett that Luke Skywalker had, or did Yoda make another lightsaber while he was in solitude on Dagobah and didn't need a lightsaber to fight anything?
We don't talk about it, though.
Because even Charles Soule said, I don't talk about it.
Well, it's
because
movies and TV shows take precedence over comics.
Yes, plus also that wasn't a thing yet when he wrote this.
No.
So he was probably just like, hey, Yoda's lightsaber, that's cool, because he dropped
that's
it on the ground.
That's a symbol.
Yeah, that's cool. So on board the Theta Class T2C shuttle, I had to read it because I didn't know what it was called. They arrive on, what do they call it? A desert astronomical object in the mid-rim.
Deserted?
Desert astronomical object, which basically means desert planet.
Oh man, it's Tatooine? Are we on Tatooine?
No. The Emperor notes that he had acquired a ship to give to Vader, and he was like, oh yeah, we're going to land here, and you're going to have your ship. But it looks like it's gone, so maybe it was stolen. And he basically says, go find your ship, and don't fail, or we can't be bros anymore. Peace.
Dude,
and then Palpatine
sucks.
Leaves. And
Palpatine
Vader's
sucks.
Got these little like goggle things. He clicks through them, finds the tracks for the car, I guess, that would have taken away his ship.
Oh, the visor is cool.
The
man.
Visor is really cool.
He clicks into different colors and it
does different things. One
X-ray
of
vision.
Heat, X-ray.
Heat
yeah.
vision.
Yeah.
Night vision.
Yeah, it's sick what he's got going
Dude,
on.
Dude, let's go.
So he gets all the way to wherever these thieves are that took his shuttle. And they're like, oh my god, this guy's terrible. And he murders them and takes his ship. And that's pretty much the end of
He heads back over to wherever planet he's going to.
Oh yeah, I gotta read this because it's sick. The last survivor that Vader's fighting with, he goes, oh, what do you want? And Vader replies, from you, only this. And then he kills the guy.
Gets him.
It's pretty sick. So I got some notes for issue
one. Ooh, what you got?
The Master Manipulator makes Vader believe it's his fault Padme die, which it kind of is, but all this is brought about by Palpatine's machinations, so he's kind of gaslighting
Captain Gaslight.
Yeah.
Captain Gaslight.
Palpatine doesn't look at Vader as Anakin anymore. He's a pawn and a tool now. Vader claims the saber was taken by Obi-Wan. Palp says it was another person's weapon, a Jedi's weapon, which is something I said in my loose synopsis, but I just thought it was cool. Palpatine acknowledges, then abruptly dismisses Vader's recent trauma to put him in his place. He threatens to kill Vader should he ever lash out again. And then he wants to just show them the progress.
We hate this man.
Yes. I loved Palpatine's explanation of Kyber crystals being living things that can sort of feel a pain because it's
everything
cool
in the Force is living.
Yeah, I feel bad for the little Force rocks that were all in those lightsabers that got blown up. Yeah, you know, this poor little boys. He explains the crimson red Sith blades are the color of the user's rage.
Darth Vader's got
cool,
a lot of it.
I guess, you know?
He's got a lot of it.
I actually talked about a lot of this while I was going through it. Man, it was like just memories.
They talk about they kind of emphasize this more so in the Ninth Jedi episode of Visions, where every Jedi has like when they get the lightsabers, when they all turn to the color of what they are. Like all those guys turn red, and then someone gets a purple one, and someone gets a clear one. Like it's like, oh, this is tight.
That was really cool. That was a cool concept.
Yeah. So it kind of plays off like this kind of idea where it's like, yeah, it's controlled by your emotions. That's why like you have a green one, you have a blue one, you have a red one, you have a purple one because you're a badass motherfucker.
I like those ones too because they were like artificial crystals. Yeah. So whatever was going on with them, they were like very closely attuned to the user.
Yeah.
Like,
cool stuff.
Pretty neat. Here's something we didn't really talk about. Palpatine asks Vader how his suit is, and he calls it acceptable, but in reality it's garbage.
Just straight up trash.
Yeah, later comics reveal Vader's suit is pretty much crap, done by Palpatine to feed his rage and cause him a certain level of discomfort at all times.
And also to be like, I can beat him up at any point.
Yeah, well, he made his suit completely, like, it's not, like, insulated against electricity, so he can just zap him whenever he wants and shut him down like a robot. I wrote real cybernetics and prosthesis made General Grievous, so the Empire can do a lot better than Vader's suit, especially come the time of like Episode 4. Thanks. You know, when we would get later on in the timeline. Vader, he clicks through the multiple visor modes. That was pretty sick. And his battle with the thieves is very Anakin, rushing in alone and handling all the dudes with no problem or remorse.
He's gonna get caught up in that rushing in later on.
He is. He's
gonna get fucked up.
He's gonna
up.
Have to figure
think.
This whole thing out about not rushing in.
Man's gotta think.
I'm gonna read a little bit of the synopsis now for issue 2. Oh, by the way, let me read the issue 1 title. It's called The Chosen One. And spoiler alert, all 6 issues of this are called The Chosen One.
So it's weird that it's called
part
Imperial
one,
Machine.
Part 2, part 3, part 4, part 5, part 6, The Chosen One. So, yeah, that's why I was getting a little confused as to why they called it Imperial Machine, because I was like, why isn't it called Star Wars Darth Vader The Chosen One?
I think because The Chosen One was another title for another book, but
I don't know, man.
Whatever, it is
stupid.
What it is.
So on the Jedi outpost of Brighthome, there's a bunch of clones there, and they're all talking shit about,
hey, look, I'm a Jedi.
Yeah, I'm a Jedi. It's basically the clones now that they're conscripting soldiers. They're just kind of sending them to do mundane tasks around the galaxy, which is similar to what we've seen in Bad Batch, where now they're not really fighting on the front lines
anymore. They do talk
anymore.
About that, though.
They do.
They talk about Project, what is it? Oh, my God.
I don't remember.
It's done by Rampart. I was going to say Project Rampart. It's not it. Project War Mantle?
War Mantle.
Talk about War
That's
Mantle.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't remember because I haven't watched Bad Batch since it came out. they're on the thing and they basically talk about how it sucks that they don't really get to do anything anymore, that they're probably going to be replaced, and that there's not going to be clones anymore going forward.
True. Facts.
Vader then drops out of light speed near the base, putting all the clones on alert. 4 of the fighters... The ARC 170 fighters scramble out to go and fight Vader because they're like, hey, man, pull over. And Vader's droid is like, hey, I've got the docking codes for this station if you want me to just, you know, like make that happen. And Vader's like, nah. And the clones engage him and they start fighting and.
He fucks them up.
He kills them.
He's the best starfighter.
He murders
the
shit out of them. I personally think that he didn't want the docking codes because he wanted to see if he could still fly and do ship combat like he knew he used to.
I was waiting for him to drop, no, this is pod racing.
Yeah. I think this was kind of a test for him to be like, can I still do this?
With my weird, no hands.
Like, there's no point in me going much further if I can't do this anymore. Yeah. Like, this is
the
my
one thing.
Thing
he's good at.
So he murders the shit out of all of them. Then he gets onto the ship with the clones, or the base with the clones.
Kicker
he starts
ding.
Fighting through them, ripping doors open, moving along through the base.
These guys are like, what the fuck? Is this a Jedi?
Yeah.
Ah!
He makes his way through. He force pulls a lightsaber off the wall and fights all of the troopers
one.
With it. And when he's done with them, he leaves the saber on the floor and moves into the next room in the control center. He uses the codes to access the station's archives, which includes Jedi archives, a backup of the Jedi archives on Coruscant, including all the Jedi assignments before Order 66.
He's looking for the Barash Vow.
The Barash Vow, which is basically any Jedi who are out there just meditating and waiting to fight and do their thing, because it's like a type of penance for them. So whatever Kirak and Fila did, which is the guy that he would end up looking for, he did something that he ended up leaving the Order, and Vader knows that these people are the easiest to find because they wouldn't have been with any clone troopers or detachments or anything. Yeah. They pull up the records for what they're looking for, and then those two clones, Ding and Kicker, they show up. They throw a hand grenade into the room, and Vader stops it with the Force to stop it from exploding. And I actually highlighted this because I wanted to read this exactly. Ding and Kicker discuss how they could be rewarded by the Emperor for capturing a Jedi. Vader tells them they are mistaken, however. He is no Jedi, and he has no limits, choking the two troopers to death, then letting the explosive detonate.
Yeah.
He's just fucking hard as shit. He's like, you know, they're like, he's a Jedi. He's not going to kill us. And he's like, oh, I'm going to kill you.
He's like, bet.
He's like, I don't know if you watched what I did out there. And then in, like, the last room, but I'm going to kill you real good.
You're next.
Yeah.
You just made the list.
So on the starship, the droid announces that it has found the one Jedi who meets Vader's criteria, which...
I love this,
and
dude.
And began the privilege.
His droid is like... yeah, I could search all these, but it'll take me like 364 days.
Yeah, it'll take me like 7 months to do this.
Or you can, like, you know, shorten your fucking search criteria, and I could do it properly.
Ballsy little droid.
And Vader's like, fine. He's like, you don't order me what to do. He's like, I ask the questions. And he's like, or you could be more specific, you son of a bitch.
But fine.
It's so funny, dude. The droid fucking serves his ass.
Yeah, so they the droid lets him know that this Jedi, Kirak and Fila, had taken the Barish Vow. And on the river moon of Aldalib, Kirak and Fila is seen floating in the air and meditating with two massive scars crisscrossing across his chest.
How did he get the scars? We never find out.
I got some notes, though, for this issue, too. Let's see if it's anything that I didn't already say while I was doing this.
The clones at the beginning, they talk about their conscription. Vader chooses to engage the clones in a starfighter, likely to test himself. I wrote the exact quote from Vader. The droid on board Vader's ship offers to fire rear cannons at the two behind him, and Vader says, there is no need. I know where they are. I can sense them. Their fear, their pain, their end. Yeah. I'm like, this guy's horrible. Dude. This guy's a fucking monster.
It gets worse, dude. In issue 4, he's like, I'm gonna kill kids.
Yeah.
Like, tight.
Yeah, straight up. Straight up, dude.
I'm gonna blow up this whole village because I want your stupid little glowy sword. Yeah.
That's the thing that I talk about. That's the thing I've been talking about. When people are like, Vader was redeemed in episode 6. I'm like, really? Read what he did like exactly after episode 3.
Or even between 4 and episode 5.
Yeah, or during episode 3. It's funny, the clones, they mentioned that if they could defend the station from Vader, Palpatine may recognize their actions and reward them with red helmets, insinuating they want to be his Imperial Guards.
Yeah, dude,
that's kind of funny. I love that.
They could be the red helmet guys.
Yeah, after taking the lightsaber off the wall to defend himself, he leaves it behind because he has to prove to himself he could do this mission and not cheat. Plus, also his droid will rat him out and be like, he took that.
What a punk.
He's a fucking loser. He didn't fight nobody for that.
I think later on, his droid is revealed to be like working for Palpatine. And I'm like,
Everything is working for Palpatine.
Exactly.
The droid is always working for Palpatine. That's the thing underlying in this story. Everything Palpatine does is low-key a test for Vader to see if he's even worthy.
Dude, look at the...
He could die at any moment during
we'll get
this.
To that
and
in
Palpatine
issue 6.
Would just be like... Whatever.
Next.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that in issue 6.
I'll find somebody else. Vader using the Force to stop a detonator from exploding is sick.
Very sick.
Very sick.
Very sick.
And then we get to issue 3.
Yeah, dude. River Moons and Aldalim.
Yeah, so on Aldalim, Kirak and Fila, he's meditating using the Force. He's fighting his droid. He's also building 3, I think, Padawan traps, they called them?
Yeah, it's to train Padawans or something.
Yeah, so he's really good with the Force. He's really in tune with it. He's a good fighter. This is just their way of showing us that he's really on top of his shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vader shows up on the planet, and Fila starts throwing things at the ship. He hits a part
of
the
ship. He's like, that's a bad guy.
And forces it down. Vader's like, I'm not losing the Jedi or the ship, because I can still sense him, so let's just land the ship somewhere, and I will go to him. And then Vader, while he's making his way to Kirak and Fila, they sense each other, and Fila makes his presence known, and he's like, are you, like, the dark entity? And the first thing Vader does, without even responding, is try to choke him.
And he's like, bro.
He's like, I'm just gonna kill you right now. This would be so easy if you just let me. And Kirak and Fila pushes him back, and then he's like, oh, I see. You want to come up here and kick my ass?
Go, come through my traps.
He's like, come up my mountain. And then Vader starts coming up his mountain,
And Kira Kanfila, I should note that they said his the reason he took the Bearish Vow was because his only purpose was to, like, fight. He had no interest in diplomacy or any other kind of, like, Jedi-like things. Yeah, but
there's no, like, inciting, like, incident.
No, they never gave us a reason. But while Vader is coming up and displaying his strength, Kira Kanfila gets excited. He's like, turn all the traps off. And the droid's like, I could drop the bridge out from under his feet right now, and we could drop him into the canyon. You don't want to do that? He's like, no. Let him come up.
He's like, I'm going to fight him.
He's like, I'm going to beat the shit out of this guy right now. So Vader comes up. They get into a little scuffle. Vader ultimately loses and is pushed off the cliff.
Yep. I was like, oh, cool. Vader's done. Issue 3. Sweet.
I do believe that that's the end of the issue.
Yep.
Oh, I should note also that he kills, or not really kills, he takes Kira Kanfila's droid, throws him off the cliff, and takes his little training weapon from him so he could try to fight. So that will come into play for issue 4. There's so much. It was Mount Passival. That's what it's called.
Passival. There's so much
in this issue that I'm just, nope.
Though we covered it, dude.
Nope. Oh my god, that was a really long synopsis that we skipped through.
Yeah, that's okay. We got it.
It is okay, because read the comics if you really want to know, because this one is worth reading. I almost don't even like want to ruin it, but we have to talk about it.
Ruin a little bit.
I'll ruin it a little bit. Alright, so my issue 3 notes. Kira Kanfila proves his skill with the Force by fighting his training droid and assembling multiple Padawan traps. That's what they were at the same time. Vader and Kirok, yeah, he tries to choke him. After Vader is pushed away by Kirok and Fila, he asks if he killed the Jedi, and Vader takes credit for all of their deaths. Kirok then tells Vader he had hoped that he was there to kill him too, so they could fight. Mm-hmm. It just kind of shows you it's building up, like, this is what this guy wants. He wants to get into a conflict with Vader.
Or wants to fuck shit up.
Yeah. This was weird. Vader is attacked by bird-like creatures called Raptorans while ascending the mountain, and uses the Force to seemingly break their beaks and bones and blow them up.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Vader's just like, bye.
It, like, produces a smoke that's not unlike an explosion, and I'm just, like, confused by that panel every time. He turns into
mist.
I'm like, I know you can, like, hit something really forcefully and, like, have a blood explosion. I'm like, but this just looks like a hand grenade is exploding inside the bird, and it might be a machine. Because no, like, blood comes out of it. Yeah. But they're very clearly creatures, because Kirok uses the Force to send them away once Vader is kind of had enough of them. And as they're flying away, Vader just kills one more for fun. He's like, fuck you. Because he's a piece of shit.
Yeah, Vader sucks.
Let's talk about Vader's robot leg. It begins to break while he and Infeeler lock weapons, further showing the poor quality of his suit. Kirok even tells Vader he's weak, and it doesn't make sense that he was able to kill all the Jedi.
Yo, man, I would have just kicked his kneecap inwards. I would have been like, pew!
Knock this shit out. It, like, collapses in on itself.
Yeah, and then you kick it, and it collapses backwards.
Yes.
Ouchie.
All right, so Vader, he falls all the way off the cliff, the one that he threw in Fila. This is issue 4, by the way. Mm-hmm. The one he throws in Fila's droid off of, and he's laying on the ground, and he's all fucked up.
He's like,
and the droid is like, ha ha, you lost, you're never going to win, you're never going to get anywhere. And Vader's like, fuck you, and he uses the Force to call all the droid parts onto himself.
He gets, like, a little armor.
And he builds himself up a little bit so that he can make his way back towards Infeela. Kira Kanfila, having defeated Vader and thinking he killed him, goes to the people that he met when he came to this planet.
Marina and Coley.
Yeah, and they've been keeping his ship for him. There's like garage mechanics
it's
or whatever.
It's the Delta 7B Aether Sprite Class Light Interceptor.
Ooh.
It's basically his Jedi ship.
Yes. And
he's like, I paid up front for it, and it should be done, right? Yeah, and she's like,
you see these two people, and there's another person in the back. It's like a silhouette, and they're holding a baby because they really just want to create this, like, thing that, hey, this is all going to go terribly in about five minutes.
Jog is his other husband.
Yeah, so Kira Kanfila is telling them, like, oh, I won, and I've discovered there's a new threat out in the galaxy, and I'm going to
end it. Jedi are gone, so I'm back.
They're like, yeah, they said that the Jedi were traitors, but we didn't believe them. And he's like, yeah, sure, whatever.
He's like, I get to go punch stuff again.
He's, like, helping them put his ship back together, and then he senses Vader, or what he can only surmise is Vader, walks outside, sees him on top of the dam, and Vader's like, come, let's fight, let's finish
this. I'm blowing the dam up.
Kira Kanfila jumps up to the top of the dam, they get ready to fight, and then some soldiers roll up. Vader's like, I'm gonna kill these guys, because they are just in the way. And Kirok's like, no, you can't kill them, they're good people. And he tries to save them, and he does save them, he puts them down gently, and Vader's like, you're a moron, and he just starts blowing up the dam. Uh-huh. Kirok and Fila does his best to hold the dam together, and while his guard is down, Vader steals his lightsaber, and then Force chokes him up into the air. And while Kirok is being choked in the air, Vader crushes the dam, destroys the city, and then the last thing Kirok and Fila sees before his neck is snapped is the dam destroying the city.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man.
It's pretty gruesome.
Vader's a fucking asshole.
He's a terrible guy.
Now, question. I know Kirok and Fila loses.
Yes.
But
he would have won if they weren't there.
No. Oh, I know. He would have won if it was a one-on-one. What I'm saying is, would he be able to beat Palpatine?
No.
You don't think if he flew up to the Death Star, one-on-one combat, Luke Skywalker style, he couldn't fuck up that old man?
Well,
look how ripped he was.
I don't think he would have gotten that far, to be honest.
But if he did?
If he could sneak on to the ship, or the Death Star wasn't built yet entirely at that point. So presumably, if he could get into Palpatine's office, I want to paint a picture for you of...
I know six Jedi show up and he spins at them and kills them all. But Kirak is like this whole made for battle.
He's made for battle.
Yeah.
Is he stronger than Mace Windu? We don't really know.
Exactly. He loses to Vader, but Vader's also a powerhouse.
Vader's suit also after, and this is in one of, I think issue six, they talk about this one, and it's after he's in the back to tank, and Palpatine's like, oh, I'll have them fix your suit. And Vader gets like pissed. He wants to work on his suit. He wants to change things, make it a little bit better.
Because he's the mechanic.
This suit sucks, obviously.
And Palpatine's like, oh, so, fuck.
You know, I don't know. There's a lot of things here that aren't accountable. Maybe if Vader had fought Kirak and Fila with the suit that he made the modifications to, that mobility and the strength of the limbs might have been enough for him to go toe-to-toe with it. Especially if he had a lightsaber of his own to start with. That could have been a different story.
We're not there.
But Kirak and Fila does note that he's extremely weak, you know?
Uh-huh. He's like, you're old and stupid.
Yeah, he's like, you're weak. You don't really have it going for you.
Dude, if you think about it, Darth Vader's 23 years old.
Yeah, he's in a really shitty spot right now.
He's a child. He dies at like 40.
He does. I think he dies at like his
38.
I think he dies in his late 40s. He's like 48 when he dies.
Late 40s.
Yeah.
If he's 23 plus 18 is 35. Plus 6, it's about 40. He's about 40, 41 when he dies. He dies in episode 6.
23 plus 18 is not 30.
It's not 35, it's 45.
No. 45! I'm like, that's
plus
some...
six. He's like 49, 50
I'm like, that's some solid math, man. He's like close to 50.
Yeah.
He's on his way.
Still not cool, man.
No.
He literally lives half his life as a fucking robot.
Let's see what notes I wrote for this one. Things I wanted to say. He uses the parts from Kirak's training droid to fix himself, which goes to show Anakin's proficiency when it comes to droid parts and fixing things. Even without his hands, he's able to construct machinery from the knowledge of where things are supposed to go.
And the Force, you know?
He's very good. Yeah, I mean, I think about the Force, not like I have eyes, like, on it. It's like, it's like my hand, you know? Yeah. But if I can't see what my hand is doing, a lot of the time I might put it somewhere where I might get hurt.
Yeah.
You know? But he's that guy that can just do that because he's the one.
He is the chosen one.
I wrote, if Kirak wasn't distracted by the civilians, a very good possibility he would have killed Vader in their second encounter because he was just putting him through the paces on the first one. When Vader breaks the water reservoir, cracking the dam in the entire city, it's a far cry from the man he used to be who would stop things like this from happening. Everyone who lived there likely died. And Kirak, I actually put their dialogue in because I thought it was fucking sick. While he's trying to hold the dam, he's like, this is about the Jedi and the Sith. These people have nothing to do with our fight. It isn't about them. And Vader goes, you are a fool. Of course it's about them. I'm like, oh my god, this guy sucks. I love it, though. But I love it. Yeah. It's so good to just see him going full on, like, I'm a bad guy and I'm committed to this, you know? Vader holds Kirak up long enough to... it's absolutely brutal. It's terrible. It's things like this that make me say Vader wasn't redeemed because he just tossed Pal
over Vader was not redeemed. Maybe he was redeemed in the eyes of his son who didn't know his atrocities, but no.
Come to find out those atrocities later.
You're a bad guy.
Alright, so he's got the lightsaber now, and while traveling through hyperspace, Vader gets a holographic projector message from Sidious, and he's basically saying, like, the droid was designed to take you to these specific place.
To pass your trials.
Yeah, once you have the lightsaber, it was only going to take you here once you did it, and you did it, so now you're going. It takes him to Mustafar, the place of his greatest defeat against Obi-Wan Kenobi, also, and the place where he also low-key killed his wife.
And also the place where his castle will be formed.
The place where his castle will one day be built, yes. Actually, right on top of the cave.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's sick.
Irony.
It's writing. So Vader goes and finds this Sith cave inside of on Mustafar. Palpatine tells him, you know, follow the dark side and it'll take you to the point where you're most connected to the dark side on the planet.
And I wanted to be right where his dead body was laying in the fire.
That would be sick. It'd be a really cool if like
he, because it'd only be like a week later we see like a burning leg.
It'd be cool if it was like that beach, right? And then the cave was like just off to the side a little bit. That would have been cool, but whatever. So he gets inside the cave. He pulls the crystal out of the hilt. And he starts trying to put his emotions into it and make it happen. And then he starts, he has an experience. He's blown back, and like his little eye thing is shattered. His goggle is shattered, and we see Anakin's blue eyes, and he drops the, "What have I done?" Like in episode 3.
He's like, bruh.
And it's this whole thing where he returns to Coruscant, and he sees Palpatine, and Palpatine's like, "Oh, good, did you do it? Did you decide what was going to happen?" And he's like, "Yeah," and he pulls out Kirok's green lightsaber, fights Palpatine, kills him.
Oh, and that was cool. I was like, yo, yeah. Shit, what?
Then he goes to another planet that kind of looks like Alderaan, Alderaan, and Obi-Wan is there, and he's like, "Oh, master, forgive me," and Obi-Wan ignites his lightsaber, master. Darth Vader gets down on his knees, takes his helmet off, and he asks for forgiveness. Obi-Wan shuts his lightsaber off, and he just says the name Anakin, and that's what snaps him back to reality, and Darth Vader fucking runs back to the table, and he goes, "No," and he smashes the crystal down. He goes, "This is all there is now." I'm like, oh my god. Yikes. And he bleeds the crystal, turns it red, and gets his saber, returns to Palpatine, and he's like, "I did it." And that's the issue, pretty much.
He fucks up two of the redheads.
He does. He walks into Palpatine's office on Coruscant. Two of the Imperial guards, Masamita and Tarkin, are there.
Yeah, Tarkin.
The guards hold up their spears. Vader just like throws them into the wall because he's not dealing with that. Masamita shits himself a little. Tarkin shits himself a little. Palpatine's like, "Good." And Tarkin's like, "Are you sure it's okay?" He's like, "He will not hurt me. He is my friend.
He's my boy.
I love him.
I will abuse him. It's fine."
Tarkin and Masamita leave, and Vader shows Palps his new glow stick.
He's like, "Look, Dad, it's fucking cool.
I did it, I'm a bad guy."
If you thought that was a short synopsis, wait till we get to issue 6. But first, issue 5 notes.
Woo!
While Vader's ship is controlled by the droid, on the way to Mustafar, Palpatine says, "Here you will reclaim yourself from the site of your greatest defeat. You shall rise strong, unbroken, powerful." Palpatine Def has a flair for the dramatic, but it's exactly the kind of thing that
we
I love to see.
We know he does,
from
him. Dude. We know.
I know,
he does.
I know, and that's why I love it. That's why I love it so much.
He has such a flair for the drama. He's like, "Look what the Jedi did to me. I am horribly scarred.
The Jedi's attack on my life has left me scarred and deformed." It's like, whoa, guy.
He's like in the middle of the council, like, "Look at me.
Look at what happened." Yeah, I bet after the Jedi all died, he walked into the Master Chamber, sat in every chair, and was like, "Which one do I want to be my seat that I eat my breakfast at every day?"
The little seat, the big seat.
Fucking Yoda's seat. He's fucking sitting there, like, cross-legged.
Punk.
I am the Grandmaster.
So stupid.
Oh man, the Sith cave Vader visits is known as a locus of the dark side. It's a spot where he and the spirit of the deceased Darth Moman will later work together to build Vader's infamous castle after many attempts. I can't wait for you to read that story. That's cool.
What about the Crypt Keeper guy?
Yeah.
The guy who's...
I don't know where he comes from.
The Tony Hale guy?
He just shows up.
It's something with a V?
I can't remember.
Vizier? Something like that?
I think it's something like that.
Zavir? Vizier?
I can't be expected to remember everybody.
Tony Hale plays.
I remember so much other stupid bullshit. I can't remember everything though.
It's Vader's Alfred.
Yeah, he's not even in that comic.
He's in one comic. He's in Rogue One, and that's it.
He is in Rogue One. Yeah, that was like the in the Lego. That was like
thing.
The first time I think we ever even saw him.
That he's in the Lego stuff. He might actually be in the new books.
Probably. He's probably a character in sorts.
We'll see.
Yeah, because in the one where him and Moman build the castle, you don't see this dude at all.
Yeah.
And that's another cool thing about that. They go through like several iterations of the castle. They build a castle, go, nope, and tear it down. And then they build another one. Nah, and then they tear it down. They're like, we need to make this just right.
Yeah, man. Gotta make it just
Vader right. Has an eye for design.
He does, dude. You know Anakin, man. He made
skin.
I want to
talk about this vision that he had. It's hard to fully interpret what Vader sees in the cave. Is this vision brought on by the Kyber crystal as a way to fight back and force Anakin to the light? Is this what Anakin truly wants at this point so soon after ruining his life? Or is it more manipulation by Palpatine to see if he'll stay loyal to him? It's not exactly clear cut.
Well, we know Palps could be sitting in Exegol and control Ben Solo, so
could
it's possible.
Be. Yeah, that's why now I'm like, is this more manipulation on Palpatine's side? Like, he knows the moment when Vader is touching the crystal. He's just that powerful. He can feel it. And he's like, let me just throw one more seed of doubt in your mind and see what you do with that.
See if you betray me.
So that's a little weird for me because we've never seen something quite like that before. I think maybe in the Ben Solo comic they do something similar.
Maybe.
But I'm not... I haven't read that in its entirety because I didn't give a shit.
Entirety.
I was like, ugh. It's not clear cut, but it's only when he sees Obi-Wan and hears his name Anakin that Vader resigns himself to his current fate and ultimately rejects whatever visions he saw. No, I refuse. This is all there is. As he bleeds the crystal, he sees flashes of his former master on the high ground following their climactic duel. He sees himself carrying his dead mother, Padme's smiling face, and then Palpatine's. These are obviously his greatest sources of pain.
Oh, no.
So, it's just any time that we get, like, inklings of Vader's, like, psyche, I think it's cool.
I wish we saw Soaps.
Here's the part where I'm about to get really big brain as a Star Wars fan and do some really weird comparisons. The idea of corrupting a kyber crystal with a sense of life to the point that it changes and becomes the embodiment of the wielder's hate and pain is a truly awful thing.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that even though it's effectively just a powerful rock, it has symbolism that not only did he turn and ruin this pure thing, it has to be carried with him and used to exact his will. Kyber crystals traditionally make themselves known to the person meant to wield them, mm-hmm. making the ones wielded by Sith Lords effectively like slaves in a manner of speaking. It's like a double meaning. Vader was a slave his whole life, and now he's more or less enslaving a kyber crystal to do his bidding. You know, he's always been like, I don't want to do the bidding of other people. And now he's like, I'm taking this crystal, forcing all of my anguish onto it, and making it do what I want.
That's definitely big brain, and if you asked Charles Soule, he'd be like, yeah.
He'd be like, yeah, I'm into that.
He'd be like, that sounds good. That sounds right.
I mean, I didn't want to be like, yeah, you know, rock slavery. But I did. But I did put hashtag Kyber rights.
Hashtag not all Sith.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. Yeah. Big brain, stupid Star Wars things for the people who really care about the rocks.
For sure, man, definitely.
And I thought it was funny to see Tarkin low-key afraid of Vader because he doesn't know who he is.
He's like, "Whoa, dude, who's this guy?"
Yeah, right. Issue 6.
Yeah, man, the Inquisitors are here.
Quickest synopsis I can give you. Vader is in a Bacta tank after his suit is destroyed. Palpatine's like, I'll fix your suit. Vader's like, I'll fix my suit. Vader does fix his suit. An alert goes off. There's an intruder in the Jedi Temple. Vader goes to handle it. It's the Grand Inquisitor, who was also sent there by Palpatine. Palpatine orchestrated this event so that the two of them would meet, I guess, to try and test their power or see if Vader could kill him or if he could kill Vader or whatever. Point is, the two of them meet, they fight. Vader thrashes the Grand Inquisitor after the Grand Inquisitor's like, I'm winning, you suck, you're weak. And Vader's like, I was just testing my suit. You actually have nothing against me. Vader cuts his lightsaber in half, and just when he's about to kill him, Palpatine rolls up and he's like, stop!
It's your boys!
He's like, yeah, you guys are gonna work together. And Palpatine just takes them off to the
training ground.
Industrial district, I believe that's where it is. Of Coruscant, and Vader gets to meet the Inquisitorius and the people who are there.
We see the second sister, the ninth sister. The big one,
yeah,
who gets the robot hand from Fallen Order.
Because Vader cuts her hand off literally the next issue.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, dude.
So that's pretty much it. The reason the Grand Inquisitor was in the Jedi Archives was because he wanted for so long to access the restricted section and look at all this information similar to Anakin. Because
Jocasta knew told him to bounce.
Yeah, but Jocasta knew was like, no! But now that she's not there, he's like, Palpatine told me I can look at all the knowledge. Yeah. And so that's what he wants. That's what he wants.
I really want to go more in depth on the Inquisitors. I'm glad that we're getting a show, kind of, probably. Mm-hmm. I want them to get a book as well.
Yes. Very, very small amount of notes for issue 6. Whatever adjustments Vader made to his suit, they obviously worked because he makes the Grand Inquisitor look like a joke. I love how the Grand Inquisitor is kind of thrown off by Vader showing up, kicking his ass, and becoming his new boss in all of about 5 minutes.
Yeah, he's like, what the fuck? He's like, I thought I was the guy.
I thought I was, like, the leader. And Palpatine's like, nah.
He didn't beat the guy. He sucks.
Vader is equally as confused because he likely believed he would be the only former Jedi in the Empire.
Yep.
And then Vader questions Palpatine if the Grand Inquisitor would have replaced him if he had beaten Vader. But Palpatine dances around the question, insinuating he wasn't worried the Grand Inquisitor would be any match.
He's like, would he have been able to have beaten you? And Vader's like, no. He's like, that's what I thought.
And that's kind of it. I know I glossed over a lot.
Honestly, you didn't.
I really just want people to read these ones.
Dude, you covered the basis of it.
I did. I covered the generic kind of flow of the story. There's a lot of little things that we had.
We don't want to spoil too much, but we got it.
No, you know, it's, and I know this is like you're listening to us talk about the fucking story, but I implore you, if you haven't read this, go look at it.
It's good.
On Amazon, it's like $5 for all of these issues together.
And Giuseppe Camuccoli?
Man, his art is amazing.
He's done some Spider-Man stuff, and ooh, damn.
Charles Soule, he writes Darth Vader like I would want to write Darth Vader, you know?
Oh, bitch.
It's really... He's emotional. He's an asshole. Oh, he's fucking volatile. I can't wait violent. To get, I love it.
I can't wait to get to Kieran Gillen's version. That's the original book that came out in 2015.
Yeah.
You're going to love the fuck out of that one. And the new one.
I might have even read that one, to be honest. I might have read it.
Or you maybe watched Theory talk about it.
I have a lot of these.
The Vader books are like your steez, man.
I love the Vader books, dude. They're the most interesting ones to me.
They are the best.
Is it...
It's Kieran Gillen?
Yep.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it's these. I read these.
You only read the first two, it looks like, though.
Well, I went back because I thought this was the comic we were reading.
Oh, no.
But it was not. Yeah, this story's sick.
Dude, a lot of the Vader stuff is cool. I have that first couple in trade, singles, I think.
This is the story, I believe, where he holds Anakin's lightsaber again.
It's possible.
For the first time since he lost it.
Well, because this takes place right after episode 4, so he has, he beat up,
This might be a different
story. Death Star blowed up and he beat up Ben Kenobi.
Oh, it's this guy.
Who's this guy?
It's the new Grievous. Oh, yeah, he's a fucking Mon Cala with a Grievous body.
Yeah, we don't talk about him. Yeah. No, wait till we get to Vader down, bro.
Vader down bad.
Vader down bad. All right. Yeah. Final thoughts on the book before we close out the show.
It's one of my favorite comic books, and everyone should read it. And I'm really looking forward to continuing reading these stories.
Man, I mean, we could just plow through these and like we can do Vader month. Vader month, baby.
You let me know what you want to do because I've read all of the Vader comics. So
I have not. If you want to keep going,
then let's keep going.
Yeah, I read the original Vader run back when Gillen was doing it because I was reading them in real time. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, I stopped reading Star Wars because I fell out of it. Not my love of Star Wars, but my like I was like, hey, it's Darth Vader.
You get into
like,
other stuff too. Yeah, you know? You get.
I was getting big into Marvel and Spider-Man and stuff, and I was like, I don't got time for Star Wars books. I'm like, plus they decanonized a lot of the good ones, so like, what if they decanonize these? That was my big fear.
Yeah.
But then they were like, huh, we're doubling down on this, and I was like, okay, sounds good, friend.
Yeah, I've read... Oh, this is the other Darth Vader stuff, too.
That's the new one.
Yeah, I love this, that's too. That's 2018? This story also kicks ass.
Yeah, dude. You get Oob. Not Oob.
Who does this one?
Greg Pak, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Pak, Ienko, and Mignon.
Yeah, Greg Pak. I don't know if Greg Pak is still doing it, but I know he did most of them, at least for the beginning.
He did issue 1.
He did the first 6,
I read up to issue 14.
Who's on that one? Is it Pak still?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Greg Pak goes up to the War of the Bounty Hunters. He might be out of the War of Bounty Hunters. I'm not positive. I think they're at issue 20 right now. Anyway, I thought the book was really good. I like a lot of the Vader stuff. Yeah. The art, obviously.
Fucking kick this.
They have the omnibuses, which I do think you'd like a lot. You see that big man thing?
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds like a penis. The big book called The Man Thing? that's the size of them. It'll say Star Wars Darth Vader by Charles Soule or Kieran Gillen.
I've seen these before.
Yeah, man.
It's up there with the... Your He-Man on.
Yeah, I got He-Man, Superman, and Man Thing.
Oh, how you pointed out the Man Thing instead of the He-Man.
Well, because Man Thing was... Black. Nope.
You seen He-Man's big black man thing?
No, because it's easier to read the man thing one as opposed to the little He-Man one.
Nah, I got you.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Maybe we'll get those. I definitely want to pick them up at some point. Because I want to have all the Star Wars books, but I don't know how to get them.
If you guys got, like, the Darth Vader omnibus in your comic shop, I would come by and grab that.
Maybe I'll order one for the store then.
I would come by and grab one of those.
All right. Did you have any closing thoughts? I think I might have stepped over you.
Read this.
Okay, I wanted to make sure. Hey, man, this is more... As much as I love this, this is also more for you.
I can't wait to get to the part of the comics where he's surrounded by like a bunch of rebels. And they're like, we've got him surrounded! And Vader goes, all I'm surrounded by is fear and dead men. Dude, I'm like, this guy is disgusting.
That's the 2015 run.
Like, I fucking love this guy. He's so sick.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. You can follow the podcast at Farthest Galaxy on Instagram to keep up to date with the episodes as they release and what we will be covering. You can follow me, Hunter, at Scruffy Moose Man. I keep going back and forth on my Instagrams. And Alex, the Dude Kenobi. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us on Spotify, leave a review, and share with a friend. Yeah. And we'll do Darth Vader next week.
All right.
March is Vader month. March of the... Oh, man. What's his song called?
Imperial March.
Imperial March. Imperial March. That's what we're doing. Every March we'll do Darth Vader.
Let's
Imperial
get it. March.